If you are not partying this weekend, I try and I try and I try. Just can't help you. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. It is live. It is local. It is what's happening. And we've got a lot of things happening. Talk lines are open at 884-9910. I have got great guests today. I've just got them lined up for you. And we're going to be talking about Reno's homeless issue in just a moment. But you know what? There's homeless issues all over this country that are being ignored, that are being swept under the rug to the point that we have typhoid back. We have tuberculosis back. We have people getting sick on the streets in California just walking through different messes. And we have to do something. We have to be more aware of what's going on around us and how we can fix it. We're very proud to be heard on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley now as well. And when you think about our beautiful rural areas and what we have going on, we have a lot to be grateful for, especially for areas like Corley Ranch and a very special event that is coming up. I love this. It is the fifth annual Basque Fry, brought to you by the Morning in Nevada Pack with Adam Laxalt. And we have some incredible guests. And including those guests are this gentleman who we are going to be speaking to right now. And you might recognize the name as more of a national name. And that is Matt Whitaker joining us right now. Good morning, Matt. It is so wonderful to talk to you.
Good morning. I appreciate you having me on the show. And I was looking forward to this interview all day.
Oh, well, I'm glad. You didn't talk to Corey Lewandowski by chance in the good time he had.
I didn't. Corey's a friend, and I ran into him the other day at the Fox News studios. But I'm Adam Laxalt has convinced me that this is going to be a great time to be in Nevada and to go to the Basque Fry, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, are you going to go to CPAC West the day before as well?
Yep, I'll be in town and speaking.
Is going to be awesome. Well, I'll be broadcasting live from CPAC West at the Grand Sierra Resort on Friday. So hopefully I get a chance to meet you in person and get you on for another interview then. You are the former acting United States Attorney General. And I was so excited when you took on this challenge for even the short time that it was before AG Barr was put into place. And I was really hoping that you would just fill the position because I know your work and I know that you would be on the same level as AG Barr of cleaning up the mess. You have an issue in the rurals, in the communities like Gardnerville, Minden, the outlying areas of here in Northern Nevada, that they're not really trusting what's going on in Washington, D.C. And they're not excited already about an election that is a year away. It seems like we never stopped talking about politics. It was such a hurried time after President Trump was elected because people were saying it wasn't real, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't acceptable, he's not a legitimate president, which I'm getting sick of hearing because people are still doing it. How do you turn the minds of the rurals to get them excited about all of the great things that are happening in this country right now?
Well, I saw it last night. I was up in Lamar's, Iowa, giving a speech to some sort of very motivated folks, probably over 100 people. We had some pork chops, and we talked about what was going on in Washington, D.C. And I think you identify an important issue is that there's a lot of folks in our country that are, you know, work hard every day, pay their taxes every day, and there is just a lot of noise coming out of Washington, D.C., but never any action that actually makes a difference in their lives. And, you know, I think to some extent what we face right now is not people turning that off, but actually folks at all levels getting more involved and participating at whatever level they deem appropriate, whether it's in their local community, whether it's, you know, being involved in national or state politics. I think it's so important that we have sort of people of common sense and good reason. Folks that I grew up with here in Iowa and the folks that I'm sure are in Nevada and those communities that you described, that they just, it's the time is to double down. And my message last night that I was able to communicate in Lamar's, Iowa, which is the home of Blue Bunny Ice Cream, was that, you know, not only do what you can do and everything you can do, but actually get outside your comfort zone and do what you've never done before. And I think that's so important. There was a battle, I think, for the heart and soul of our country. I keep doing everything I can do and trying to get out of my comfort zone. And I pledged last night that I'm actually going to go knock on some doors here in Iowa to help some of my friends get elected.
Well, see, I don't even know what to ask you now because all I can think about is Blue Bunny ice cream and especially the banana split.
Well, they're
but
so
thank
good.
You for that.
I would be as big as I am because of it, yeah.
Well, obviously, you know, it's done good for the Iowa boys. But that's the other big issue, that we see everything that goes on with President Trump and how he is still attacked. And will we make a difference? Because here in Nevada, we are under Democrat control. I mean, we're hemorrhaging money and we need services so badly. I have a formerly homeless gentleman sitting right in front of me. And yet we have a governor who went out and spent $17 million on new planes, you know, so he doesn't have to fly with the rest of us plebes. How do we turn this around? Is it that going door to door and working together?
Well, I think it's a couple things. One of the things that I see, from where I was as acting attorney general and now back as a private citizen, but obviously very involved in the national political scene, is I see...
Yeah, you'll never be a private citizen again. There's greater things in store for you.
No, and I listen, whatever God's plan for my life, I could have never imagined even 4 or 5 years ago where I'd be, and so I'm very excited to still what the next chapter is, but... That being said, you know, to some extent, we finally have a left party, a left-leaning party that's really actually running on what they believe. For so long, they sort of cloaked their belief in these truisms that you couldn't really, they were almost impenetrable. And if you remember, one of the things we got out of that was Obamacare, among other things. And, you know, the president, Obama, certainly didn't run on passing Obamacare to win election and ran as sort of this middle of the road, very hard to define, limited record candidate. And I think that's what President Trump, I mean, of all the things he's done, I think one of the main things he's done is he is forcing candidates and parties and politicians to say what they will do. And, you know, I mean, I always think it's hilarious when people criticize the president for sort of whatever the issue of the day is, whether it's tariffs, whether it's building the wall, you know, all these things that the media especially criticizes him for. I mean, this is exactly what he ran on. No, nobody thinks that when he's, I mean, you know, it's sort of oftentimes he's criticized because, oh, he's trying to fulfill his campaign pledges. Well, of course he's trying to fulfill his campaign pledges, and he's going to run on a re-election for that. I mean, it's just...
Promises made, promises delivered.
Right, and they can't, the left-leaning media just cannot wrap their heads around this idea that a candidate would do what they say once they get in office. And I think that's the challenge. And that's why you see this primary, what's playing out here in my home state of Iowa as a caucus on the left, as sort of they're all finally saying what they'll do. And it's very radical and it's very jarring. And it makes Bernie Sanders of 2016 look like a center of the road, middle of the road candidate versus what they're running on now. So I think, you know, I mentioned at the beginning that this is a, you know, very consequential election. Obviously it is. But at the same time, I mean, I can't emphasize enough how important it is for, you know, sort of your listeners to step up and like I said, not only do everything they can do, but get a little uncomfortable and do things you've never done before, because, you know, it does make a difference. And once we're all pulling in the same direction, and once we're all rowing in the same direction, I think fundamentally, we can make major changes in this country for the better and implement sort of our values and views. And I think they could last really for a generation. One of the things I'll point to, one of the things that I'm very excited about there is no doubt that if President Trump wins re-election, that he will be able to appoint one or maybe two Supreme Court justices. And that would put almost a supermajority in the Supreme Court. And I think that would have a dramatic and long lag into the United States of America. And that's, I mean, that's, you know, I don't, I think, and that's what motivated a lot of folks. You remember the whole Merrick Garland, Gorsuch situation of 15 and 16. That motivated a lot of folks to go out and support the nominee who was President Trump at the time. And I think we're going to face a similar issue here as we head into 2020.
Yeah, creating the nuclear option is the only thing I've ever been happy with Harry Reid doing. He's an embarrassment to this state. But so you know, and I don't know if you have heard this, but we are having a big meeting, big convention actually this weekend in Winnemucca, and choosing state officers. And one of the things that they're actually looking to do at this convention this weekend is to amend the standing rules to the Nevada Republican Central Committee, and that is providing a resolution to amend the rules to provide an alternative presidential poll so that President Trump knows Nevada is backing him and only him all the way, that we're not going to get these, you know, secondary candidates in and, you know, have a vote split or something. So I'm actually kind of proud of that. But I'm very proud that you're going to be at the Basque Fry. We're going to have a great time. I have to ask you the same question that I asked Corey, though. Are you going to be wearing real cowboy boots, or are you going to go out and buy a new pair, you know, to fit in? But being from Iowa, I think you have them already kind of worked in.
Yeah. So I have a couple pair of Ariats, and really for me, it's a matter of whether I wear the pointed-toed ones or the square-toed ones.
Well, you know what the pointed-toed ones are good for, and that's kicking all that stuff into the corners.
Yeah. Well, I grew up wearing cowboy boots since I was in high school. I grew up in a, you know, sort of a, what would be called a suburb of Des Moines, if Des Moines could have suburbs, but across the street from a cornfield. So I'm, you know, I'm not a farmer, but, you know, I have a lot of farming friends, and, you know, we wear cowboy boots, and it's a very kind of, they're more comfortable than dress shoes, I find.
Yeah, they really are. So we're going to have you comfortable and entertained at the Basque Fry. You're going to fit right in. It's delicious Basque food, family-friendly entertainment, and, of course, hearing from great speakers like Matthew Whitaker and a former chief of staff for General Sessions there. And we appreciate all that you are doing for the forgotten Americans here in this country, the ones that President Trump is working
give
for.
Up the fight. This is something I've been, I was activated by Reagan as a youth, went to my first caucus as a senior in high school here in Iowa in 1988. And I've been involved, in, you know, the policy and the politics of America ever since. So I'm excited to come to this, the Bass Fry and the CPAC West event. And I can't wait to see so many good friends, and actually be in Nevada. It's one of my favorite places to be. My brother lives in Las Vegas, so I may swing by and see him, even though I know it's not an easy drive between Reno and Las Vegas. I might do it just to stop by and see him as well.
Yeah, big difference between Northern Nevada and Las Vegas. It's just all of Nevada and Las Vegas. It's completely separate entity down there. So find out more about CPAC West and morninginnevadapac.org. You can get your tickets there for the Basque Fry. There's all kinds of great discounts for military, for students. And Matthew, I look forward to meeting you in person, and just have a wonderful and safe time in Iowa. And we'll see you in just a couple of weeks.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. There goes Matthew Whitaker. And again, one of the speakers. He's known for Fox News and, of course, being the interim attorney general there. And so many good people coming to Northern Nevada, and we want people coming up from Southern Nevada as well, to let people know that Nevada is important. We have a voice. We have a conservative voice. We have to get it back strong. And We have to bring this country back together. So please log on to morninginnevadapac.org and find out more. If you've never been to one of the Basque Fries, you need to go. It is great for the entire family. It's a chance for you to meet Nevada's local elected leaders and some up-and-coming national leaders as well. Okay, all the ones you see commentating on Fox News, like Corey Lewandowski and Mick Mulvaney and Mercedes Schlapp and Matt Schlapp and Matthew Whitaker and John Fund, they're all going to be there. And look at CPAC West as well and the great panels that are going to be there. We are going to be right back on the show as we talk about national issues and things like that. But one of the national issues that really hits here is homelessness. And what is really behind the problem and why the plans that our city council and our Washoe County Commission put in place will never, ever, ever work. Firsthand experience. Tim is with me in studio, also taking your calls at KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open at 884-9910. Also at Monica at 991FMTalk.com. And we see it every day. And it's really becoming something that is so outrageous to think about, that it's happening in our community, what we see going on in, well, San Francisco, what we saw going on in LA, what we see going on, and people just taking over the streets, who are homeless, who are mentally ill, who are addicted to drugs, who don't want to be a part of society, literally, and how politicians are throwing money at the situation and not coming up with real answers. So I want you to please, please welcome my guest right now. And I am so, I've gotten the opportunity to meet him a couple of times, and he's going to be on with me for, you know, the next 20 minutes or so, and maybe even a half hour, because there's a lot to talk about when you're pointing out what the city is doing wrong. But Tim McGivney, no, mm-hmm. McGivney, did I say that right? Oh my God, I can't believe I said that right.
Right. Yep, that's it.
Tim, you have such an incredible story and what you've gone through on the streets of Reno. And I just want to kind of build you up here because we have to take a Fox News break. But right. Quickly, you were homeless, actually living on the streets here of Reno.
Yeah.
For how many years?
Off and on, Monica. I was, you know, when couches would run out and people got sick of my behavior.
Yeah.
Because I was on drugs, IV drug user too. And after all the favors run out and you burn all the bridges, you're on the streets, then maybe you find someone else to take advantage of, and then you're back on the streets. So off and on for 10 plus years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Looking at you now, I would never guess, suspect, even presume that something like that had ever happened to you. What age did you become homeless?
Really, it started with the drugs. Let's start there. So when I started using drugs, depending on how you define homeless, I was
true.
In my car at one point. So I was like, oh, I'm doing all right.
that's still homeless.
You're right.
Yeah.
And so then, on the streets, all of it started from the age I started not obeying the laws, not seeking to better myself, and not living, like you said, as a functioning part of society. So, and that started all around right after high school.
Okay, so about 18, 19.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
34.
Wow.
Yeah.
This has been a long journey for you.
Yeah. Yeah, a long journey.
Would you do anything different?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Now that you have the experience that
right.
you have now.
I wish I knew what I know now when I was younger, right?
Yeah, don't we all wish that? But you see who you are now from the experiences that you've had on the street.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. I mean, we used to call it freedom. You know, we do whatever we want. Mm-hmm. Me and the guys I ran with, we don't have to listen to anybody. We're doing what we want. And really, you're not. you're being you're just going along and doing what you're funneled into and what's free and easy, and that's not who we are either.
That's not living.
It's not. No,
it's not really living.
No, it's not. And so, yeah, I had a couple guys step into my life. I had some arrests and some events that kind of funneled me into actually living the way that I am, and that comes along with responsibility, and that's maturity. It's not age. It's the acceptance of responsibility.
Imagine that, being arrested for breaking the rules, breaking the law, and something positive coming out of it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Some naysayers would say, no, that's not going to do anything. But yeah.
Those naysayers are the people who are, you know, sitting on the commission, sitting on the panels, sitting on the boards. Yeah.
Right.
So please stick around. Listen to Tim's story. You are going to be amazed, and you're going to be a little ticked off, too, at the way that the city of Reno and Washoe County is handling this situation. I guarantee it. KKFT, we are the home of Fox News at 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Oh, hell, I'll take all Patriots. KKFT, 99.1 FM Talk. And I'm not going to give out the talk lines, actually, right now, because I've got a wonderful guest right in studio with me, and then I've got another guest talking about the convention that's going on this weekend. Jim DeGraffenried's going to be calling in. But I want you to please pay attention to my new friend, Tim McGivney, and his story and what he's gone through since he was a teenager. And Tim, I mean, how did you finally see yourself as homeless living on the streets of Reno?
How did it come into fruition?
Yeah.
Or just bad choice after bad choice. And like I said, burning bridges, just no respect for people and the things they were trying to do to help me. And that's in quotations, because a lot of times that gets muddied when you care about someone. And
You liked your IV drugs.
That's
so,
right. Yeah.
You know,
help me. But, you know, this is part of me, right?
If you were homeless, how did you get money for the drugs?
Oh, we'd do all kinds of things, all kinds of hustles, stealing, all kinds of things. I was talking with a friend about this, about maybe making some reparations in the way of going and helping some stores understand the ways that they could strengthen their security as far as loss prevention, because you just go out and take and take and take from people.
It's interesting that you say that with loss prevention, because there are so many stores, even bars, liquor stores and places like that, that the owners tell them not to try to apprehend people or catch people. It's just like, if you see it, just write it down, let it go.
Right, right.
Another form of lawlessness.
Right, yeah, yeah. And so, you know, just don't cause a scene. Just let it go by, and then it won't disturb people. People in the store won't be upset or scared because you're yelling back and causing a scene. It's ridiculous, because something needs to happen there. If there's no stop to it, you see this at all levels of society. If there's no stop to the greed that you can just take whatever you can take, you're going to take. I mean, it's human nature unless you have morals and ethics.
Well, and that's the city and the county's mentality right now of, we need to give people beds, we need to give them tents, we need to give them a place to put their tents, we need to give them food, we need to give them bus passes, we need to give them the ability to pitch a tent in front of the Believe sign and stay wherever they want.
Right.
I mean, obviously, we're not to the point that San Francisco is right now, but we are going on that path because of the same things that they're following.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And when you just mentioned that about pitching a tent in front of the Believe sign, I could see easily that becoming something like what they did in Portland. They changed their tent city name to mm-hmm. Pride City, because they're proud to be homeless and these sort of things. And it's kind of, you're pushing them along into this area of their lives, then telling them that's okay if that's the way they want to live, then coming up with, oh, well, we want to live this way. We're proud to be. It's not Tent City, it's Pride City. I could see Believe City. We believe in this way of life. Okay, well, if you're having people enable you into that way of life rather than saying, no, you're better than this, and that's the thing, Monica, it's so camouflaged as far as them telling voters, telling our community, this is the way to help. They just need a little help. Give them this. They need, you know, you don't know what it's like to be on the streets. Mm-hmm. and people are, their hearts are going out for this these people. But what do we see on anything, Dr. Phil, any of these talk radio, talk shows or TV shows, enabling is bad,
yeah.
right? We know
it's
that. Everyone knows
love.
That. Everyone knows enabling is bad. But then why are we enabling them to live in this? And they're saying, oh, I heard a comment about a friend of mine who was doing something about the homeless, actually helping them. But the comment was, oh, you just see them as vagrant trash. And really, that's not true. That's not true. You're giving them the opportunity to live the way that they were created to live. We were created a specific for with certain attributes and certain abilities and gifts. And we're enabling them to live that out, not telling them, oh, that's good enough for you. Here's a tent.
Mm-hmm.
You
lived on the streets of Reno for more than 10 years. Where was your favorite place to stay?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Because we see so much along the Truckee River now, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, you aren't recently coming out of this. You've been, what, clean and sober now for?
Yeah, almost 3 years. So.
Oh, congratulations.
Somewhat, yeah.
That is so
thank
cool.
Thank you. Yeah. Favorite place, multiple. I'll just the easiest place that you're not going to get harassed.
Easiest place, okay.
And that ties into what we were talking about as far as, you know, that tough love, that you know, being accountable to things like not loitering and all these other things, these other laws, loitering, littering, drug use on the streets, storing personal items in public areas. Well, you say, oh, well, I don't want to make their day any harder. They're already homeless. Well, really, they've got to be held accountable to the same laws the rest of us are.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point, they can start saying, you know, this life isn't just doing whatever I want. There's laws to be obeyed. And that's where change can come in.
So what do you think the biggest thing that the city of Reno is doing right now isn't going to work? I mean, because I can't even get your whole story out in the time that we have. So you are my go-to homeless expert because you were homeless for over 10 years in Reno.
Right.
And this was recently. So
yeah.
Is it the not enforcing the law? Is it the handouts? What do you think it is?
The biggest, all of those together is, there's got to be a plan to come up with where it focuses on all those, honestly. Some sort of help into getting a job. Now, when you're talking about helping, okay. So I work with Stronghold Institute, and I will help people. I say, sometimes I have to catch myself, because I'll say, yeah, we help them get into a job, we help them get into a place, and then I stop and I say, wait a second. They get themselves a job. They get themselves into a place to stay. Sometimes it can be overwhelming, honestly, when you have so many different things that your mind has created these excuses to where, no, I can't
no
get a job.
No one's going to hire me. No, teeth are messed up. My, you know, yeah.
Yeah. And so what we do is we take that film off their eyes and we focus them in and we'll come alongside them. I like that a lot better. We'll come alongside them to get them into a job, into a place to stay, but they do it themselves. All we do is just kind of, we show them that that's possible. And
in living on the streets, are there people actually out there who will never take help, that's just where they want to be? It doesn't matter what age they are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are, unfortunately. I mean, I say that and then I'm thinking, I could say that definitely if it's easy enough,
mm-hmm.
if there's no resistance to it and there's housing given to them even, or a place to where they don't have to obey the laws and a place for their tent and where the rules can be broken. Why would anyone change? Yeah, it's that cycle.
Did you see a recent story about the deaths of the homeless?
I don't know
how that was. It's supposed to be making us feel even worse that homeless people are dying because of, you know, they freeze in the winter, or they, you know, are just too hot, overheated in the summer, and there's just no help for them. There is help out there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's help, definitely. And there's help out there to get them out of those situations. And if you're looking at who's responsible for those deaths, it would be the city's plan to keep them on the streets and make it comfortable for them. They're not victims out there. And they're going along with what they're being told and funneled into. If you funnel them into an area where they're able to just, where that's what they're expected to do is live on the streets and things like that, I'd say the city's responsible for that.
What about personal choice and personal responsibility? Do homeless, when you are homeless, do people take any of that?
It all depends on the individual and how far in they are or what their needs are. As far as personal choice, you have the choice, but you're not going to, what we shouldn't allow them is to make these choices that harm others. And that's what it does when you get into this, into homeless areas that you can't go into because look at the crimes from homeless people on citizens and things like that. And that's
the river path. I know a lot of people that don't even go ride their bike on the river path anymore because it's pointless. In being in that experience, in that situation, you were a drug user. Mm-hmm. What do you think, what are the realities and the ratios of how many people are homeless because of economics or drugs or mental illness? Because those are the three major components.
Yeah. I can tell you the percentage, the help is out there for anyone. So I was talking to my wife about this just last night, I think. The help is out there. Say, I told her, we're talking and we're saying, yeah, well, let's look at it. Say something happened to me. I wasn't able to afford our place to stay. Something happened and I was on the streets. That wouldn't last much longer than, I'd say about a week, if that. And besides the fact that, okay, so just saying that without any family or friends or any support, just that, I would look at things. I would get, there's all kinds of assistance out there to get a job, to get back into housing, to get back into taking care of my family. There's resources out there.
So the economic part of it and the affordable housing that they keep pushing, it's so many people are homeless because of the affordable housing issue. Yeah. That's not really issue is that they're trying to push out there.
No, I wouldn't say that's even true at all.
So we're looking at more than a drugs and mental illness.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, drug use is definitely part of it. Like I said, we would just, we'd joke with each other that we just do whatever we want. We were reckless and just doing as much as we could get away with, I should say. Not whatever we want. Well, you try. If you find resistance, we talk amongst each other. Hey, one of the things is don't go to Walmart to steal, pretty much, because actually Walmart has pretty good loss prevention. So, okay, all the other places, this place is easy. We'll talk about this place is easy. And along those same lines is you'd find where the least resistance is to you wanting to do whatever you want and live recklessly and lawlessly. As far as where you could loiter, where you could abuse their facilities and resources,
which is pretty much in downtown city of Reno and along the river.
Oh yeah, and so going further than that, people passing through homeless,
the overpasses.
Passing through the town of Reno. Mm-hmm. If we're starting to give them homes and give them things like this, this is going to be a hotspot. The word will get out. We will have an influx of homeless coming to the area and saying, look at the great deal. This is where it's at. We can get a lot here.
That's what I have always tried to express to people, especially panhandling, at the city corners, even down in South Reno, is that to really buy food?
No, it wouldn't be to buy food. Okay. It definitely wouldn't be to buy food. There's, yeah, you could go anywhere to eat. You don't waste your money on that. First of all, you'd just steal it if you needed to. Second, there's a million pantries in the area.
There really are,
pantries.
Yeah.
So, you could get away with stealing. Why would you? You'd never be hungry. That's the last thing you'd be, is hungry out there on the streets.
So when
you have too much food almost.
So when you give that person the dollar or the $5 or even the 20 that I've seen people do before,
if you want to feel good about yourself and feel like you're doing something, but know what you're doing, just tell them, here, go get high.
Yeah.
And just tell them, yeah, here's one on me. Or just give them, give them beer.
What would you suggest people do right now if they want to fix the problems that we have in downtown Reno?
We've got two. There's four elements to it, and I wrote a little bit about it. So the four things are requiring them to work. First off, let's go back to first off, because I don't want to sound cold here. There are some issues that need to be dealt with, mental health issues, but getting them into counseling, and there's counseling available for anybody that needs it, mental health counseling. It's never going to be like, oh, there's not enough counselors or something like that. You can get there.
It's there.
The mental health issue, but caring enough about these people to get them into that. And if they're not willing to, well, you don't enable them to go around harming themselves.
It's called tough love.
Yeah.
It has to be addressed.
Exactly. Yeah. And so mental health, you deal with that. Then job. Mental health and sobriety. We'll put those in the same one because that's kind of first step. Mental health, sobriety, law abiding. You don't just overlook the fact that anything that's going on.
The loitering, the littering,
stealing, shopping carts, just stealing anything.
Enforce it all.
Yeah, yeah. The safe places to use type deals we'll probably be seeing coming. Those are in the cities, you know, that are catering to the homeless.
Oh, yeah, San Francisco, the safe needle places, yeah.
Yeah, so, jobs, get them into where they feel good about themselves and can see the goals and see their improvements, and I'll work with them and encourage them along. I'm not just going to say do this, do that, and nobody likes that. But making it easier for them to make the right choices on their own, supporting them in that, and just not tolerating when they're doing these self-destructive behaviors.
So pay attention. This is what happens when you enforce the law and you give people pride again. You give people responsibility. You give people a life. Tim McGivney is sitting right in front of me. Over 10 years on the streets, drug addicted, stealing, homeless. Yeah. Father, married, quite handsome, I might add.
Oh, thank you.
And being a productive person of society.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm working with two different nonprofits, you know, the one Stat Excellence Academy and the other Stronghold, and we'll help anybody and help them the right way, not by giving them something to keep them in the situation they're in. We'll tell them what they're really worth and tell them be a man and or a woman and put your pointed toe boots on, as you mentioned earlier, and kick that other stuff off to the side.
Kick it into the corners and compact it. So I'm going to have you start giving me weekly updates on what's happening in the city, and because I want you to really work on this and change this situation for us. So my guest, Tim McGivney, you can find out more about everything he's been talking about, Stronghold Institute, at QOL-Reno.org. Again, under the guidance of Paul White. And Tim, congratulations, and I look forward to talking to you next week because I want an update on council, commission, what's going on, and what they're doing to improve the homeless situation here, actually make a difference.
Yeah, all right.
Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you, Monica.
Love that smile. Love that smile, too. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. We're going to be right back after this with what's going on in Winnemucca and quickly, Jim DeGraffenried right after this on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. All right, let's dispense with all the pleasantries because I only got 3 minutes before we take off for this nice holiday, and I got to get Jim DeGraffenried on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Jim, first off, tell me about this resolution R108 that they're going to be deciding at this weekend's convention in Winnemucca for the Nevada Republican Party. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Monica, how are you?
Good. So what's going on?
And the R108 resolution is basically to discuss whether or not the party can give endorsement to the incumbent sitting president as opposed to going through the full caucus or primary process. If you're going to have a caucus with one person on the ballot, it's kind of a strange caucus. So basically the vote tomorrow is to authorize that to happen. The actual vote itself obviously would not happen until into the spring of next year. By RNC rules, we're first in the West, and so we would be first, but the actual vote can't take place till 2020.
Okay, so people are still working on this, and people can find out more at nevadagop.org?
Absolutely. The resolution itself is actually posted there with the information for the meeting if people want to see what it actually is. There's been some misinformation out there about what's actually happening. And then the results of what happens tomorrow will also get posted, and everyone will be kept informed as to what we're doing to reelect our president.
Okay, and I've only got about 60 seconds. You can answer the question, or you can pass the phone on to my buddy Michael. But why should Michael McDonald be retained as the chairman of the Nevada Republican Party?
Hey, Monica, how are you doing? Thanks for having us on.
Hi, sweetheart. I'm doing great.
Doing awesome. No, if you look at the work we've done from where we're fulfilling a lot of items, we have a great relationship with the RNC, with the President of the United States. If you look at the programs we have coming into this state, they're all focused on electing Republicans up and down the ballot. And more important, most importantly, is always to make sure our state turns red and reelect Donald J. Trump.
Now, people are questioning some of the people that you have been surrounding yourself with now. How do you reassure them that you have a good team together?
Well, our team is very successful. I mean, if you look at what we have right now, that's how the president is endorsed us. The president's team's endorsed us. You know, we're individuals. This president definitely takes a look at everything that has to go into to the mix of running a state party. This we rebuilt it from the ashes. We have a successful team that's brought the party to where it is today. You know, we get blamed by a lot of other people's different sins, but because we're in leadership, it goes with the territory. I mean, it's on your show. You've questioned a lot of our elected officials the way they've acted, but you know, it falls on our watch, and it's responsibility mm-hmm. of us to try and make sure we get the right people elected.
That's right. It all trickles down. Michael McDonald, chairman of the Nevada Republican Party at the Winnemucca Convention this weekend. Good luck to you, and I hope you have the votes, and I will talk to you again real soon. You're going to have to let me know on Monday how this all turns out and get back on the air with me. Thank you, Michael. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Everybody have a great weekend.